Welcome to Inside Out. I'm Lee Kumita. Around the table, the virtual table we have. To my left. Oh, Johnny.
Is that me? I'm on your left, right? Okay. Right, okay.
I'm looking at you, Johnny.
I'm rubbish with left and right. Sorry, Johnny Cassidy, I'm here. On Lee's left.
And Beth Rose is here on her right at the table. And in Scotland, we've got...
Emma Tracy, I'm at my own wooden table and with nobody to my left or my right.
You've got your own little like studio. Quite like that idea. That sounds like a good idea. We have been hearing a lot. There's been a lot in the news about food this week, hasn't there? There's been quite a lot of stories around. Mm-hmm. And the one that kind of, well, caught my eye and got me wondering was this story about the Royal Society for Public Health wanting to put little icons on packaging that tell you how much exercise you'll need to do to work off the thing that you're about to buy. And I kind of thought about this and thought, I'm not liking that idea. What do you guys all think?
Tell me, first of all, why you don't like it.
Well, I don't like it because it says things like, for a standard chocolate bar, you need to run 22 minutes or walk 42 minutes. And I just kind of thought, well, I'm not going to run on my own for 22 minutes. A, I'm not going to run 22 minutes, let's face it. I'm not into running in any way, shape or form. But if I wanted to run for 22 minutes, I'd have to find a guide because I'm blind. And to walk 42 minutes, so I'd have to think about a route that I knew that would take me 42 minutes to walk.
I'd run on the spot.
Why? I mean, how boring is that? Would you run on the spot?
I love running on the spot.
You're doing it now, Johnny.
No. To what you're saying is that you don't like being reminded that it takes too much hassle to go and do it, or you don't like the interference of when you're chomping into a chocolate bar to think that you put calories onto you and then you have to take it off, or what?
Well, I guess it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because I wouldn't be looking at the wrapper, and three of us around here wouldn't be looking at the wrapper going, oh my God, I have to, you know, run for 22 minutes to walk this off. So it would have to be a way of interrogating that information for us to be able to find out that information anyway, wouldn't we?
People know that you eat a chocolate bar. It's not like a thing that's not going to put calories onto you.
Yeah, but I was surprised, actually, how little it would take to work a chocolate bar off.
How much, Beth?
It is 22 minutes if you go for a regular chocolate bar, kind of 45-gram chocolate bar, any sort.
And how many calories is that?
The ones I've got in front of me, actually, they come in at 227 calories.
Yeah, so we brought props.
Doesn't seem that high.
Okay, can I tell you what I've got?
Oh.
So I brought in some Scottish tablet.
Oh, wow. I had some of that on Friday night.
Don't know what it is either.
It's
butter and sugar made into a... Have you ever had Kendall mint cake?
Oh, yes.
A bit like that?
Delicious.
It's kind of crumbly.
It's fudge, isn't it, with added sugar?
Yeah. Right. So this is a 95-gram piece of tablet in a packet. And my favourite thing about this tablet is that there is nothing on the package about calories at all. I asked in the office. There's nothing on the inside of the package, nothing on the outside. So you were talking about not looking at the wrapper and not being able to see these icons. Unfortunately, search engines exist and it's very, very easy to look up how many calories are actually in this tablet. There are 400 calories in this piece of tablet.
And there's places in Scotland you can go and get it deep fried, which adds to it.
I will eat this today and I will not run today.
Well, see, I mean, I was just adding, so 400 calories. So we said, was it 22 minutes for the 229 calorie bar?
That's right. Yeah.
If you wanted to run. So you would have to run for 44 minutes to work this off. I mean, you've already said that you're not going to. But, I mean, is that something you would do? And would you think about? And would it change how you decided you were going to choose, you know, what you were going to have?
I think for me, it would definitely make me stop and think, oh, actually, you know what, I'm not going to go for that run. I'll just leave that chocolate bar alone. And I know it's only a slight thing, isn't it, just having that image printed on a package. And I could go to the back of the package and look at all the current information there. But it doesn't mean a whole lot to me. So I wouldn't be able to work out what the 229 calories mean, how long the exercise is. Mm. I can't visualise 6 grams of sugar or 6 teaspoons of sugar, which is about 25 grams, which is the maximum you're meant to have on a day.
On a day?
In a day, which is minuscule compared to what most people have generally in their day-to-day life. So just having that symbol, I would think, actually, no.
Some disabled people need more calories than others and some need less than others. And it's people can do different levels of exercise. So it gets really complicated because it just says run or walk there. But we know that people can't run or walk for physical reasons, for mental health reasons, for visual impairment reasons. If you can't get someone to go with you or you can't get a route, it still wouldn't stop me eating the tablet.
I must admit, it might stop me. If it was something that I could, if there was a little chip in the packaging, when I picked it up, it said, you are going to have to run for 22 minutes in order to, you know, negate this particular calorie intake, I might think about the hardship and the hassle and the effort that that's going to take me. I think, actually, you know what, I might just put this down.
I think also it's about just doing something, isn't it? So you're saying, Emma, it's, you know, it's very difficult to identify an activity or sport that you could do really easily just kind of after work or on your lunch break. But I guess the fact is, if you could do something, then that would help a little bit.
Yeah, yes. You don't, like, it's 22 minutes running, 44 minutes walking. Like, you know, that's going to be burnt off just with your normal metabolism in maybe 5 hours.
Back to what Emma was saying, that, you know, people with disabilities burn calories in different ways. We've got on the line with us Chris Saunders-Stowe. Hi, Chris.
Hi there.
Who, you can tell us what your disability is, Chris, and what you do.
Yeah, I'm a wheelchair user through a degenerative joint condition.
And you run something called Wheelie Good Fitness, which I'm sorry, I think is a great name.
It's a really great name.
It's a really great name. And what is Wheelie Good Fitness?
Wheelie Good Fitness was my way of trying to tackle the issue of providing fitness that is suited to people with disabilities. I mean, primarily because of myself using a wheelchair, it was targeted at wheelchair users. But it was about changing the approach to disability and exercise. Instead of having this very delicate cotton wool approach and sort of patronising, I suppose, to a lot of people, it was about putting the fun into it and trying to do something that was equal to what was classed as an able-bodied class. So there's the power there, there's the dynamics, there's the intensity and the fun and everything there, but also achieving what you need to achieve for that person and how they function as an individual.
So what do you think of this idea? Would you like a little symbol that said you could run for 22 minutes to work off something?
Yeah, I would actually, because I do quite like it. I mean, as with any information that's put on any packaging, it's down to the individual to read it and absorb that information and decide what they do with it. But I do think how things are at the moment with nothing but numbers and things about what you should and shouldn't have volume-wise, something like this now enables people to actually relate to something in their daily life.
So do you think there should be a separate symbol for people with disabilities in some way?
To a degree, yes. I mean, I would say, in a bit like we do with the boot badge, we've got the wheelchair symbol and the equivalent of a walking or running for somebody who is self-propelling in a wheelchair. You know, you can only go to a certain degree before it gets really, really complex. But if there was also a backup information leaflet or a website where you can then look at different ranges of mobility and how that may impede your burning of your calories, I think it would be beneficial. I mean, there's lots of things I've seen where you can take part as a disabled person in an event, such as last year there was Steptember. But there wasn't an official equivalent to what one step was walking, to what one step was the equivalent in pushing in a chair.
And what is that? Do we know what that is?
We don't, actually, and this is something I'm hoping to work on by using the sensors like you do on a bike. And when we put our wheelchair on the treadmill, we're going to try and get a feel for what the equivalent is. Because I think it's important to understand. I mean, as soon as you start using a wheelchair, your whole body changes in the way you function. But, of course, your diet may not change. If you've become an amputee, you're still going to have the same interest in food regardless, but you may not need as much energy. Mm. So it's trying to find a way in which you can change that to suit your differing lifestyle.
Chris, do you put the wheelchairs onto the treadmill?
We do.
And that's how it goes, and then you can control it and go as fast as you want. How can you control it if you're having to do your two hands with to propel yourself?
It's slightly different because it's totally manual. So it's the equivalent of two rollers that you roll your chair up a ramp and sit them on the rollers.
Oh, right,
and then you've got a flywheel, so you're totally in control of it. But it gives you the equivalent of running on a treadmill from a cardio perspective. And it also enables people to improve their posture and their actual pushing technique.
I think that sounds a brilliant thing to do. You know, the more people that do get fit, the better.
Can I just say that I am a fitness instructor, so I teach everybody to live healthily and do everything they can. I am a chocoholic.
Hello, Chris. My name's Lee.
I take the approach that chocolate comes from beans, which makes them a vegetable, therefore they're part of your fiber day.
Excellent.
I eat around about 200 to 300 grams of chocolate every single day. I eat a lot of chocolate.
Wow, that's a huge amount. That's massive.
I burn it off. And I'm aware of the fact that there's a price to pay, so I have to do something to compensate for it.
And you don't worry about the sugar, the effect of the sugar, without, you know, like the lack of nutritional benefits
but
of
again,
eating
through. I'm aware of it, and so I sort of try to counteract that within my diet.
That's interesting.
And this is the thing, trying to be sensible, but still enjoying living. Mm. And having some of the pleasures, but also being aware that there are consequences.
I think that's a sensible attitude, but I've got a really big bugbear about cheap food and how we've lost touch with real food, and how when you go and buy maybe a £2 chicken or a big family lasagna for £1.50, people don't know what's in that, the level of bad ingredients that are in that, and your education should be more aim towards stuff like that, about teaching people how to eat and how to cook. And you're right, totally, about enjoying things and then having to realise that you got to burn it off. So there's all levels of knowledge that people need to know.
And I do wonder, saying about the sort of cheaper foods and everything that's added into them, without stereotyping, if most people with a disability are on a lower income, and so the financial side of it, but there's also the fact that your actual ability to take care of yourself more at home, that you may not be able to prepare a fully fresh meal. Mm. And so you buy these cheaper meals that are all processed, etc. Mm. So in some respects, you've got no choice but to eat a lot of processed foods because you're unable to actually prepare a proper meal yourself that's full of vitamins and everything you need.
What do you suggest to people in that situation? What do you suggest is the best way forward for them if they come to you?
For me, it's just trying to be as sensible as you can, and make sure you do actually take part in as much exercise as you can. You may not be able to go out, but, as mentioned earlier, running on the spot is one option. But you've got to look about what you do over the whole day and add that up and then try and compare it. But there's also home exercise that you can do. But it's about getting out of that comfort zone and creating these new routines that you naturally do without thinking about to improve your own sort of fitness levels and, your independence and your better health.
That's inspired me to lose a few pounds, I think.
Do you find that some disabled people need to do less to burn off more than people who aren't disabled? There's a colleague of mine who's got cerebral palsy and says that just by walking to the bus stop, she burns off an awful lot of calories, which means that she gets to eat quite a lot of chocolate, as you say. Is that something you've come across?
I think that's just down to everybody being different in the sense of how efficient their bodies are, what demand that walking may actually be on one person may actually be a lot more than somebody who's physically fit and runs all the time. I mean, at the same time, it still takes the same amount of energy to burn off those calories. But if your body isn't as efficient, then you may actually be using up a lot more energy in order to do it. But again, you don't know what the underlying issues are with somebody's condition as well that may affect their metabolism, may affect how much they burn those calories, because there's the side effects of many drugs. If you look at things like the antidepressant drugs, some can cause weight gain, some can cause weight loss.
Yeah.
A lot of people with disabilities are taking a whole mixture of medications that can also have an impact on that as well.
Well, thank you so much, Chris. So they're going to need another warning if they do implement these labels that says, but it's all down to the individual.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think everyone will understand it's just meant to be a guide. Thanks so much, Chris, for your time.
Pleasure.
Goodbye, Chris.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Bye, Chris. My other worrying about this labelling change is that it might affect people with mental health problems and eating disorders and problems around eating and food. I wonder whether that's the right language to use and whether it's the right way of going about it. I don't know what the right way of going about it is. It feels like it's going to work for quite a lot of people. I just wonder how it's going to affect that area of the population as well.
I think at the moment it is only a suggestion, isn't it, from this group?
Yes.
And as I said earlier, the traffic light system has been waited on for ages. So I don't think we've got too much to worry about.
What is the traffic light system?
It's, you know, if something's red, green, do you know what traffic lights are?
Yes, I do. I get that. Thank you so much.
You do already get it on quite a lot of supermarkets. Yeah, so red is obviously...
But it's not a mandatory thing, is it?
No, it's kind of company by company.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what does red mean?
Red is really high in salt or fat or sugar and is bad for you. Amber is maybe as a treat or it's okay. Green is obviously...
Go, go, go.
Go ahead. Enjoy. I think it has been quite effective. But as you were saying earlier, Johnny, what gets really difficult is for years they've been saying have low fat. Mm. So those are all green and brilliant. And now obviously the thinking is sort of changing slightly. Mm.
But you see, in behind this again, and cynical me, there's an awful lot of lobby groups that are working powerfully to lobby and influence what is good for you and what's not good for you. There's something that I read a year or so ago that in America there's a lobby group for frozen food. They got pizza categorised as a vegetable.
No.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder, could they get tablet categorised as one of my dairy products? I might have to just, you know, tuck in here.
Okay, go for it.
Can we do a quick straw poll and find out after this podcast, what are you going to go off and eat?
I'm going to eat this. I've got a bag and in it I've got a Rocky Road and I've got a caramel square.
Mm. Right, okay. Beth, what are you going to do?
I've got a banana.
So you're going to eat your banana?
I'm going to eat my banana, yeah.
Emma, are you going to eat your tablet?
I'm already eating it. Thank you very much. Very tasty indeed.
Right, and I am going to go for the chocolate bar. I'm afraid that's sitting here.
Sat in front of me, actually, so...
Yeah. All right, hands it over.
If you're lucky.
I'm so pleased we didn't miss a podcast without a Johnny Cassidy conspiracy theory.
Not a conspiracy theory.
Thanks all very much. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this topic. You can email us at ouch@bbc.co.uk. You can tweet us at @bbcouch and find us on Facebook. Thank you, guys, and goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
See ya.